Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And good morning. I'm Jay Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jay Marie. Jay Marie and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here most of the time. Every Saturday, well, every weekend, talking
I'm here all the time.
Well, we're here every single weekend talking about estate planning and Medicaid planning. It's a lot of, these topics are not just as dry as a will or a power of attorney, Jay Marie. Mm-hmm. What we end up talking about with our clients is a lot of time what we talk about on the radio, and it ends up getting into family relationships and all those different dynamics. It's really quite interesting. So it's a wonderful area of law, John, I got to say.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's why you're doing it.
Every day is different, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and
never boring, never dull.
We spend those days in Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, or down in Kingston.
And some weeks, all of them.
Some all of the above. That's right. Wow. We have a color-coded system on the calendar.
So if somebody calls you guys and says, okay, I want to set up an appointment, but I want to go to the Clifton Park office, and I want to see Jane Marie.
Yeah.
So they call your office.
Yes.
And that's...
Right, so our scheduler, right? Melissa, would look to see when Jay Marie is in Clifton Park and if there's availability. Do you know how hard it is to get an appointment with Jay Marie these days?
All right, how about
It's unbelievable. It's even harder. No, same idea. So,
okay, all right, that's
and
fine, great.
What we say to our clients and what Melissa says is, first of all, Dave and Jay Marie are one and the same, and you have this... Thankfully, a really high level of expertise and in all that at the firm, which is great.
Right.
So if it's a really urgent matter, well, it doesn't matter who you see or where you see him, or we'll start with a phone call.
You got to see somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll call you tonight.
Yeah. Right. Oh, great. Oh, yeah. That's great.
And if it can wait a little longer, we'll then get you in the right place at the right time. Everyone's busy with work.
Excellent.
A lot of times, John, people are coming in with their kids, working around those schedules.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And then, we spend half our days doing document signings and half the days doing consultations.
And I would imagine sometimes you have to do some evening work.
Yeah. Well, that's when the back end stuff happens. That's when we actually, run the business, I suppose.
But all one has to do to see you guys is just call.
Yeah, I think we do, Jay Marie, a pretty good job. We're patting ourselves on the back here of being super, super flexible. Mm-hmm. I've had set.
But that's good to know. People should know that.
A couple of weeks ago, Jay Marie went from here to the office to see a client. So that happens.
Yeah, that was the client whose nephew lives in Texas, and he could only fly in on weekends.
Right.
So
got to make it work.
We had to make it work. It was great.
Fantastic.
It is a call-in program, and the call-in number is 518-476-5900. So, Jay Marie, you had a guest last week. I missed it. I listened to the recording of it. That was a wonderful program. Hopefully we continue to have guests on the show because it brings this new layer of information for our clients. And, and when it comes to CD choices, that's a whole other world that we normally aren't talking about. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, it was really great that he was able to be on and talk about that and how that fits into our community Medicaid program. It was great.
So, Jay Marie, I have two topics that I wanted to bring up to you, and I guess I'll give them names. One of them is tiptoeing, tippy toes.
Tiptoe through the tulips? That one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the other one is called lemonade.
Okay.
So, would you like to pick a topic?
I saw all the beautiful tulips all week, so I'll go with the tulips.
No, tippy toe, not tulips.
Oh, okay.
Like tippy toes.
Tippy toe. Well, I added tulips onto that, so we'll do tippy toe for the tulips. Tippy-toe. Okay.
Okay, perfect. So this is a fact pattern that we see quite a bit where we have second relationships. We have, at the end of the day, kids that we want to leave things to, and it's a rather complicated plan where, when this gentleman passes away, some things go to his wife, his second spouse, some things go to his son outright. Something goes to his daughter, kind of outright. That's where we're going to tippy-toe. And then there's some things that go to wife and then daughter and whatever. And the reason why there's a difference in the plans and we're not treating daughter and son the same in this plan is not for a lack of love and affection for their kids. He loves his kids. Mm-hmm. It's because daughter is not very good with money. Mm-hmm. And daughter... not a bad person by any means, but daughter's in a marriage where spending habits are a little iffy. You know, we always have to plan as if marriages may end, even though we're hoping they never do. So as planners, it's something on his mind. He's saying, well, one of his pointed questions was, now what happens if I die, she sells the property, they commingle the money, and then they get divorced? This is like a really narrow, specific thing, but you could see it happening.
It could. And he wants to make sure she's financially secure for the rest of her life.
So what do we do, Jamie? We start talking about, well, you know, we could leave things to her in trust. So it's never really hers and she doesn't have that opportunity to commingle. But then we're maybe involving her brother as a trustee and we have this ongoing trust for decades.
It's a little bit awkward.
A little bit awkward. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, why don't you just talk to her? Why don't you just say to her, hey, look, I have some concerns about your husband. I love him and love you more, though. And I want to make sure that I'm providing for you now and also in your later years. And if I structure this a certain way, and I want you to understand my concerns, but if I structure this a certain way, not only will you get an inheritance now, but there'll be more later and almost like a de facto retirement. There's some rental properties. We're talking about downstate. We're talking about Queens, where you know, your
prices are crazy.
I mean, $1 million for a couple rooms is unreal.
Right.
So he's got legitimate concerns. And for me, I feel like I'm the type that just would bring it up.
Right.
And just talk instead of just kind of keeping it in and kind of plodding around. But I said, imagine if something does happen to you and your daughter finds out that she's getting things in trust because you essentially don't trust her judgment. That's going to sting quite a bit.
Right. That's right.
But it's important for you to, you know, reach your goals here as well. So I'm like, stop tippy-toeing around this whole thing. Have a conversation.
It's always better to talk to your children about your estate plan. Right. And it could be a conversation where she may not know that she should keep her money separate.
Right. Well, right? For starters, right.
Right. So, I mean, so if he was going to go that route, maybe he'll talk to her and she'll say, I understand. I'm going to keep everything I get from you separate. Right.
And I mean, she's, you know, mid to late 40s. She is not a little girl. She is a grown woman who can make decisions on her own.
Right. And she can understand the consequences. Right.
And so I feel like there's two ways to go. One is you do set rules on money because you don't believe someone's going to keep property separate. You're worried about commingling. You're worried about how they spend money. You're worried about, you know, and this could be extended to substance abuse. It could be extended to gambling problems. It could be extended to just general bad judgment. And you really want to, like, you could control so much from the grave, Jamer. You could, I mean, you could draft all sorts of language that puts rules on money and how it
could
be used and when.
I could leave my money to my boys in trust forever if I chose
to. You wanted to.
Right. Yeah. And sometimes I think about that.
And hold on. So that could be a great idea.
Yes.
And it could almost be like an allowance for life and then some exceptions for emergencies and stuff. And it helps not only with possible future divorces, even though your boys are not even married.
That's right.
But it can help on those things. But it could also set them up financially forever. And what a nice thing for you to do. But there are huge tax ramifications to it, because while we can talk all the time on the radio about how great the Medicaid Asset Protection Trust is or a revocable trust is, and how for tax purposes nothing changes and life's the same. You pay income tax at your level. There's no trust return, you know, income tax, et cetera. That all changes once, Jamarie, you're gone and the money's in trust for other people.
That's true, because now the trust is now paying taxes on the money that it doesn't distribute. So that's, you know, but more importantly, I think, you know, is if I didn't talk to them ahead of time about that, they would be like mad, right? I know they would be. She doesn't trust me. Why is it, you know, why didn't she give me the money directly? Why is it in trust for the rest of my life?
So if you have the conversation, Jamarie, because it sounds so good. Yeah, no, just talk about it, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, and now we talk about it. And now it's really awkward for the rest of our lives, potentially, because at Thanksgiving, that son-in-law is at the table as well.
And,
and he's like, oh, that's right. Remember, Dad doesn't trust me to, you know.
Right.
So it's not like you blurt it all out in the reasoning, but I feel like in this circumstance, in this fact pattern, it makes a lot of sense because, oh, by the way, who's going to be holding the money for daughter? down the road, decades down the road. Probably brother. Yeah. And brother's like, I don't want to do that. Right. That's really weird. Mm-hmm. I have no interest in that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we had a meeting this week where there's another option out there, which is having more professional trustees involved and have a bank involved. And that certainly is an option and oftentimes a good option. But we are increasing the complexity post-death. And one of the big themes with our estate plans is that we're making it easy for death, obviously preserving money.
Right.
But make it so if God forbid you pass, good plan, it's over, and
the
now your kids could plan for themselves.
Right.
So.
But yeah, I think the hardest part about that is finding a trustee because, all right, daughter's 40 now. They probably have family and friends who could be trustees. Who's going to be her trustee 40 years from now?
That's the question.
That's right. They don't have someone probably they can think of.
That is the question. We'll try to answer it in the second half of our show. We'll be right back. The second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston. Our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave.
My name is Jane Marie.
In the first half of this show, we were talking about tippy-toeing around difficult conversations with your children. Do you talk to them about your estate plan? Do you keep it to yourself and just complain to your attorney, which we've heard many, many times? There's pros and cons to either route. I'm always a advocate for communication. Jane Marie, I think you're the same way.
I am. I agree.
That doesn't mean you need to spill the beans on everything because things may change along the way. You never know, for the better, for the worse. But, you know, and you have that flexibility. By the way, with all our estate plans, what I think makes the fact pattern we were talking about a little more pressing is that it's highly likely, I would say, that in the next several years, this estate plan is going to be enacted.
That's right.
Okay. Unfortunately, that's my spidey senses on it, and it's a family matter kind of. So, I'm in tune to more than I normally would be with a client.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of clients, Jane Marie, where I have a little note in the file to have the conversation with the kids.
Yes, I do too.
Right. So
about why they did things a certain way.
Well, not just that, Jane Marie. So, John, do you know what the conversation is?
Well, I would imagine it could be any number of things, but yeah, about the future.
So it's,
that's a generalized statement, of course, but yeah.
So mom and dad could have put some highly restrictive language in their documents. They decided not to after giving it a lot of thought.
Yeah.
Part of which because they said, Dave, are you sure? Do you promise that when you're sitting in this room with my kids, you will say, now listen, mom and dad didn't. They could have done this. They're not thrilled with your choice of spouse, but you're a grown person. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
They really, 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 really want you to keep this money separate. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
They're not saying it's in trust for you. Yeah. It's your money. But for purposes of possible future divorces, things like that, please keep this in a separate account.
And in the meantime, if the spouse finds out about that, it could be trouble.
And sometimes that spouse may even be there with the daughter.
That's why it's a little note in the file kind of educate the children on things like matrimonial law.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And let them know. Look, there's actually a difference between like when you inherit money, it's your money, right? Mm-hmm. That New York is not a state where as soon as you get money, it's marital and I lost half my stuff in a divorce. There's marital stuff and non-marital stuff,
right?
And gifts that you receive and bequests through an estate plan that you receive are actually start as separate property, and you can commingle. The fact pattern we were talking about before, Dad knows about that. He's actually been through a divorce. Actually, all three of them have been through divorces. So he's particularly in tune to it and had very specific questions. And the question I give to you, Jay Marie, is at what point do you make something formal? At what point do you keep things informal and have the, you know, Dave's going to talk to you at some point to remind you of what our expectations are. So how do you deal with that?
I think it's how risky it is, right? How much you really want to protect that person. Because sometimes the child doesn't really see the problems.
Yeah.
So maybe you have the conversation and the child doesn't, or you've had many conversations and they don't see any issues.
Yeah. And, you know, how well do you actually know your kids day to day and what their life is like? You maybe just see a couple holidays worth of time and you're making judgments on what they're wearing and what car they're driving. And we always tell people when, especially when they're like, you know, I'm going to give a little more to this child because the other one's doing better. It's like, how do you know?
Right. Well, between my two kids, my younger one doesn't spend a dime. He's really cheap. So you would think he needs the money, but he just saves all his money.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a yin and a yang, and we always talk about equitable, not equal. So most people want an equitable estate plan. That doesn't necessarily mean everyone gets the same percentage. It's whatever you think is fair.
Mm-hmm.
Our documents tend to be pretty basic in terms of those restrictions. I think we have lots of discretion we give the trustee in our documents as opposed to hard and fast rules. And I like that because it's like a chameleon. It could change depending on however the kids are doing or grandkids are doing. We have provisions that say, for example, you know, grandkids are going to get money at certain ages and you know, percentages at certain ages. But then like the very next paragraphs say, however, the trustee has discretion to give money earlier.
Right. Which is why a lot of the discussion is about the trustee and how much faith you're putting in that trustee to carry out your wishes.
Yeah.
Right.
And we're hoping in the future we actually could have, more formal trustees join us on the show to just kind of talk about what that all looks like.
Right.
Because it's not, there's a reason why most of our clients name kids as trustee and they don't go that extra level because, you know, we're not doing commissions typically. And
right. But they also don't know how a corporate trustee may work.
Yeah.
Right. They're afraid that they would be too restrictive on the money. You know,
I've seen a lot of times where you have two trustees and one is kind of a family member and one is has nothing to do with the family. And it's a good, again, check and balance.
Right.
So there's a, you know, a little bit about the dynamic that the family has and then the professionalism and, know-how.
That's right. They can say, well, we're investing this. You really can't spend that much money on this car or whatever. So, but it's a nice check and balance there.
So if you're out there and you're listening and you have family members where, you know, you and your husband, you and your wife talk and, you know, you have your certain thoughts and feelings. And we know what those feelings are because we could see it on your face as soon as we bring up how your kids are doing. And
that's always one of the first questions I ask. Yeah. And how are your kids?
Right. And they always give a look to each other. And should we tell them? Yeah, let's tell them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like, I have to know, right?
But if you don't at least talk about it, it doesn't mean you need to spill the beans to your kids and let them know every part of your estate plan. That's your business and it's whatever you want to do. But it's certainly worth a conversation with your attorney.
Right.
As to what should be formal in a document, what should be informal, what should be the conversation, air quotes, that we're supposed to have with your kids at some point down the road, and so on.
I would say most of our plans, if someone's doing something drastic, like cutting someone out, or that child usually knows, right? It's not usually a surprise.
Yeah.
Or if that child's getting their money in trust, they're probably not going to be surprised. It's pretty rare that a parent does that and the child has no idea.
Right.
Like they come in and we're like, you're cut out. And they jump up and scream. You know, that doesn't happen. That's on TV, right?
So. Yeah. So I'd like to give you guys an update on an old fact pattern.
Oh, okay.
So John, I don't know if you remember this. It may have been Ben that was here. So
right.
We had a fact pattern where a client, a widow, came in to the office and I said, I think you should do a trust and for financial reasons, she said, you know what, I'm just going to go with basic will, power of attorney, and I'm going to do something called a life estate deed, which is a deed. I give you my property, but I reserve in the deed the use and enjoyment of the property.
Oh, okay.
I pay the taxes. Right. Life's the same.
Right.
We avoid probate. It checks a lot of boxes, but as opposed to having a puppet, which we always talk about when you do a trust, you have a partner because you now have a co-owner, essentially. And wouldn't you know, about a year ago, she came in and said, I need to change this all. My daughter and I had a falling out.
Oh, no.
Oh.
And I said, well, the only thing we could change is your will and your power of attorney. Yeah, I can't change that deed. I mean, would she ever sign? She said, no, 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 no.
Did the daughter have power of attorney? Or
was... She was power of attorney, but she stopped being power of attorney.
Okay.
2 weeks ago, so I didn't get to talk about it because it happened recently. She came in and said, we're good again. Let's change the will back to include my daughter.
Boy.
We're good. And I said, thank God we're good. I said, well, now listen, since we're all good, and the daughter doesn't know about the changes that happened, so if you see her, don't say anything.
Right? Yeah,
it's keep it between us.
You were briefly out for a period of time.
Be nice to your mother.
So she's changing everything back that she had previously changed. And I said, hey, do you want to maybe take this time, since everything's great and your daughter doesn't know you had changed things before? We could change your life estate deed into a trust.
Right.
We could undo it. We'll use your daughter's permission, but you guys are good now. And there's other reasons to do the trust. A life estate deed, for example, only helps you with property. Doesn't help you with non-property and everything else. So there's lots of good reasons to do a trust. Maybe we'll take this time to do a trust. And so that way down the road, when falling out 2.0 happens, we're good. And she elected to stick with the life estate deed.
Oh, no.
Wow.
And she said, you know what? Whatever will happen down the road will happen down the road. And I'll say, I love it. It's all good because it's whatever she wants and she knows her options and understands the pros and cons. You know, we don't make decisions. We just advise. But it really does hammer home the difference between having a partner and having a puppet. And we, I think, almost always will want a puppet.
Yes.
But sometimes puppets cost more money than partners. So
I've had that before. I've had that same situation where they come in and they want to change the life estate deed. And like, it's too late.
And so
you can't do that, right?
Jeremy, so some people are saying, I've never heard of a life estate deed. So can you explain it?
Sure. So the life estate deed is you're putting your child's name on the deed, but you're keeping the right to live there for the rest of your life. But your child's name is on the deed. So the only way they can come off that deed is if that child signs off on it. So you don't really have that much control or power over it. You know, and I would say 99% of the time, it's fine. You know, you trust your children. They're on the deed. It's going to pass to them outside of probate when you pass away. So that's a benefit. But, you know, in those rare cases where the parent changes their mind, you can't undo it.
There's one aspect of what we do where we really can't change the lay of the land, and that's where after someone passes, we're working with the surrogates court. We're doing estate probates, estate administrations. We're fulfilling whatever that plan is. There are people that legally need to be notified. They're called, quote unquote, distributees. And sometimes tracking them down requires you to take a month off of work and go to Italy.
It does.
That's what happens sometimes.
It's really tough, but someone's got to do it.
I know.
Yeah.
Now, there's a bunch of ways to avoid probate, Jamie, and some are a little, I guess, cruder than others. Some are a little more sophisticated with a bigger picture in mind. So a client comes in, they say, listen, I listened to the show and I understand that it could be quite the mess. I want to avoid probate. What's Jamie talking to them about? What are the different options?
Well, I mean, there's a cheaper option and then,
let's save some money. Tell me about the cheaper option.
The cheaper option is you could just put some beneficiaries on your accounts.
I like it.
And that sounds great, but there's issues with that, right?
So what you're saying is, and this is obviously very true, if you have a financial account, you could add beneficiaries to it. Or something.
Not just your, you know, IRA, but you could add beneficiaries to your investment account. You can add beneficiaries to your bank accounts. Not that people are surprised at that. Not just a joint account. Maybe you don't want them on there right now, but you could add someone as a beneficiary. It's a payable on death or a transfer on death to your bank accounts.
TOD, POD, perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
You could do the same thing with CDs. You could put that's beneficiaries right. on savings bonds. You could really anything financial, you could add a beneficiary.
Right.
But I feel like there's a but coming.
But, well, but what happens if that beneficiary dies?
Well, that's going to be a problem. You're going to have to be real proactive. You're going to have to be Johnny on the spot and immediately go to change right. those things to mm-hmm. have the right beneficiaries.
Right.
I got one better than that. What happens if they're still alive but they're not doing so hot?
True. That's right. There's what no happens flexibility.
If, what happens if they're in a nursing home? What happens if they're
home.
Incapacitated?
That's right.
What happens if they have a bunch of creditors and they're about to lose all that money and if you just knew you could have switched it around or something?
Right. That's right. It's hard to track all of those. So the better way to do it is to use a trust.
Absolutely. Well, before that, Jamie, a lot of our clients own a house. They own real estate. And they, right. you can't just do a TOD on that.
You can't do a TOD on your house, right? So sometimes our clients, as you say, have beneficiaries on all their financial accounts, and they're coming in to see us mainly about what to do with the house.
They'll still have probate if you die with a house without, right. you know, some more planning. Well, so you mentioned trusts, and I know there's a bunch of different kinds. We talk about them all the time. So, I'm not going to say, Trust for Idiots, like one of those books or something.
Yes.
But like, what, beginning world of trust. Well, you don't have to just go and start Medicaid planning right off the bat, right? There's a trust that might be right for you.
No, definitely. If you're on the younger side, you may want to start with a revocable trust. And I recommend that to most of our clients who are, under 60s or something, that the benefit of that is that you're going to avoid probate, but you're also going to be in control of that trust.
Yeah.
I know you talk about how you're in control of irrevocable trust, but a revocable trust.
You're completely in control of that,
right?
The difference is whether, are you going to the bank by yourself or are you telling someone? Are you driving your car or is a chauffeur driving your car,
right.
Et cetera, right? And no matter what, you're still in some level of control. To me, one of the big things is, so as a father of a 9-year-old and a 4-year-old, if I have life insurance and retirement accounts and bank accounts, great. Well, and I could put beneficiaries in them, great.
Right.
So, my wife and I will have beneficiaries on things. Well, I can't have a 4-year-old and a 9. I mean, I can, but that's such a stupid idea.
That would be so silly.
Right. So I want rules on the money for my kids. I don't want them to get it at 18. You were 18 once upon a time, right, John?
Well, let's see. That would have been about 50
say.
Years ago, but yeah. Yes, I was.
I mean, you know what a knucklehead you were at 18. It was an awful idea to give
you a pile
of money. Yeah,
but problem is, I'm still a knucklehead, but I know what you mean.
Well, right. There's a trust for that, too, by the way. We can take care of your...
But I'm glad to hear it.
But it's not just enough to have a name, because you know how beneficiaries work out there. You guys have beneficiaries on your assets. It's a name and a percentage.
That's all it is. That's
what about all the pages about holding money for college and this and that, right? It's not in there.
Right.
What happens, our default, even in our will, our default language has things in case people are knuckleheads or
yes.
in case someone's in a nursing home
right.
at the time that you've passed. But with a will, we got to go through probate to get to that language. With a trust, that language is just there.
It's right in there, and you can make up all the contingencies you want to, right? So if something happens to that person, you can add a contingent beneficiary, and that, so you can kind of cover all the possibilities.
Absolutely. And in my mind, our job, number one, starts at the right people, get the right money the right way when you pass. That's estate planning. Step two is let's try to make that easy, so avoid probate.
Right.
Step three is let's protect the pie so there's as big of a pie as possible. It's the Medicaid planning.
Right.
That was quick.
Thank
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.